Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now for the purpose of allowing you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question or seek direction for your real-life issue. So we invite your call now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the work of God's Spirit in our lives. And, you know, when we think about the work of God's Spirit, we really have to connect that to the grace of God. The grace of God is more than God's unmerited favor toward us. It's action that is put into place through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. He makes us alive together with Christ. That's called grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's what that whole passage is talking about, the fact that we have been made alive in Christ. Well, there's more to the story than just the conversion of each person, that point in time when a person goes from death to life. Grace continues from that point forward. Grace is everything, and we see that grace in the work of God's Spirit in our lives. And I love this passage in the book of Philippians. Paul says that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so many people just read that part of the passage and all kinds of fear and, you know, we have to do something. And you don't read the rest of the verse. Paul goes on to say, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure." The Holy Spirit brings about new life on a spiritual level, and then he starts to work on the soulish and bodily aspects of who we are as human beings. He works on the choices that we make, how we process information and align it to the truth of God's Word, and then how we choose. And then that choice translates into action. Well, God, through His Spirit, is constantly working inside of us to align our choices and our actions in accordance with His good purpose for us. That's astounding to me. We can't do it on our own. We can't align these minds of ours up 100% with the mind of God. There's too many other things that fly through there every single day. I mean, we live in a world that is anti-God. We live in a world that has a completely different system than what God does. And so we're exposed to those thoughts. And so we need the power of God's Spirit to work in us, to renew our minds, to help us filter through all of those worldly thoughts and come to the point where our one thought really aligns up with the thinking of God, which then in turn directs our actions. So when we work out our salvation, it is simply allowing God to, or actually it's us working out what God has already worked in through his Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's when we are in harmony one with another.
Yeah.
And that's when this Christian life begins to feel smooth and fluid and natural, and there's a rhythm to it as we keep in step with what God's Spirit is doing inside of us. I think that's a powerful truth. I think it's a truth that we overlook so often in life. That's why we're struggling to live the Christian life. We're trying to do it on our own instead of resting in God's Spirit who is doing the work through us.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and we'd love for you to be a part of the broadcast at 1-800-677-9377. As I've said so many times, that's why we're on the air live, so that you can participate, so that you can pose your question or your particular life issue and allow us to discuss it for you. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Denver, Colorado, and talk with Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hi. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
You're welcome. I called the other day, and I got disconnected, and then you guys ran out of time. My question is about the Spirit. I talked to three different preachers on three different topics, and I get three different answers. Is that because these different preachers are leaning on their own understanding, and Is that why we have all this mixed confusion about, and I use the illustration of marriage and divorce, the Sabbath and tithing, and especially the tithing side of it? So many of these preachers, they say, come heck or high water, you better tithe your 10%, whereas I've learned, and I appreciate, that it's from the heart, not from obligation.
Well, you're right, Kenny, and I think, you know, one of the main problems is that we're trying to mix old and new. We're trying to blend the purpose of the old covenant with the purpose of the new covenant. They do kind of flow together, but I think we need to see them as separate covenants. Spiritually, that old covenant buries us. It shows us our need for Christ. When we look into the perfect mirror of the law, judgment comes back, condemnation comes back, punishment comes back. Why? Because that's what we deserve under the law. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's where the law leaves us. And that's where grace picks up the story. So once grace enters in, once Jesus Christ enters in, the law steps aside. The law gives way to the work of Jesus in our lives, and Jesus is the one that makes us alive, and Jesus is the one that ushers us into a brand new covenant, a covenant that is hinged to the work of God's Spirit in our lives. As Paul wrote, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So this new covenant is tethered to the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's one of the big problems. So when we look at the issue of tithing, I mean, that was really an old covenant principle. That was something that God gave to the people of Israel to help support the Levitical priesthood. Well, in this new covenant, we're not under the Levitical priesthood. We have all become royal priests in this new covenant. That's the way it is. So everything has changed because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So if we will understand the difference between the old and the new, and certainly the Holy Spirit gives us understanding, shows us what the purpose of the old was, so that we could experience life to the full in this new, then I think all of those things will clear up as far as our confusion is concerned.
Okay, so with these preachers that pound it into your head that it's out of obligation, my opinion, now this is my opinion, is that they've been leading on their own understanding. And I thank you for your time. I thank you for your teaching, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, Kenny. Thanks for your call today. Thanks for your question. Richard, that's such an important issue, isn't it? Understanding the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, that was critical in your life.
Yes, I you know, pick a law, any law. I was trying to keep it, and what I didn't realize is that its only purpose was to drive me to Jesus. I thought its purpose was to show me what I had to do in order to be a friend of Jesus, and you can't be Jesus' friend when you think you're messing up. And so figuring out, again, many good friends, interesting questions, Bible study, nothing but the grace of God, that there was an old covenant, and it was a beautiful thing, and there's a new covenant, and it's a beautiful thing, and Jesus caused us to move from the old to the new. It does start to answer some questions, and it gives you peace, and it gives you a focus and a purpose that you could never have while trying to live under the old covenant.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I think the Holy Spirit brings to our minds and gives us some understanding on, is the difference between the two and how now we are to be led by the Spirit of God internally.
Yeah.
And as Kenny was saying, giving then comes from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that this grace of giving is heart motivated. So it's the Spirit of God working inside of a person's life to move them to look at their resources, not just as a way to get the things that they need, but as a way and means of carrying out God's plan here on this planet, to rescue others from sin and death, and to bring them into the light of God's love and grace. So that's what the Spirit of God does inside of us. And so if we're working out what God is working in, we're going to see ourselves wanting to give of our resources accordingly.
Yes.
If these things are resonating with you, friends, why, we'd love for you to come in and be a part and share on the broadcast today. That toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377 across the country and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call. We want to hear from you if you'd like to introduce a different topic. Why, we're wide open to that as well. Question from Graham, who writes to us from Richmond, British Columbia. He says, I'm thoroughly persuaded that eternal life is, from first to last, by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, and not by works. There are lots of passages that make this abundantly clear. In light of that, could you give me a clear meaning of Romans 2, 6 through 8? That's Romans 2, 6 through 8, a passage used by some to claim that salvation is merited through good works. That's from Graham in Richmond, British Columbia.
Well, that is an interesting passage in Romans chapter 2, because when you read it, you think, okay, there is a possibility that somebody could earn salvation if they just kept the law from start to finish, you know, from the day they were born.
That's all it would take.
Until the day they died. Then they could be ushered into heaven and find their place in God's presence. Well, that's a hypothetical. It's an impossibility. Why? Because we're flawed people. There's no one that can live up to the righteous standards of the law. I mean, Adam and Eve, they were doing pretty good in the garden, and then Satan came along and tempted them, and they gave in to that temptation. Well, that changed the very nature of humanity. I mean, they were no longer in that state of innocence. And when we come into this world, we're not in a state of innocence either. We are separated from God, sinners, by birth. So no matter how hard we try, when sin is in control, sin is going to be the end result. So there's no way that we can live up to those righteous standards of the law. So it's a part of this argument that Paul is putting forth to connect us to the righteousness of God,
yes.
To see that God is righteous, that God fulfills his promises on our behalf. And if he did not do that, we would be hopeless and helpless, doomed for eternity. But thank goodness God was faithful to his promises. And the fact that he sent Jesus and put him forth as a propitiation for our sins so that we could be justified by faith and made new in our spirits.
Yeah.
That's the good news of the gospel.
Yes, it is. And that's basic gospel, friends.
Well, let's go to Parksville, Indiana, and talk to Viola. Hi, Viola.
Hi. I wanted to ask you, I have family members, you know, that are not Christians. And, you know, when I talk to them, they just kind of shun you away. And I was just wondering if there's anything that you could offer me or tell me that, you know, that I could encourage them, you know, to live a Christian life. I just, you know, worry about them because, you know, where their souls will, you know, spend eternity at. And
well, Viola,
and it bothers me.
Here's what I would suggest. I mean, you can encourage them to live a Christian life, but that's going to be impossible because they don't have life. If somebody has rejected Christ, if somebody has never come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that they're spiritually dead. There's no spiritual life in them. And there's only one place to find that spiritual life, and that is in Christ Jesus. As John wrote in his first letter, this is the testimony God gave concerning his Son, that he has given us eternal life, and this life is in Jesus. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. So that's the real issue, Viola, is you want to offer them the life of Jesus Christ. You want to say that that's God's offer on the table for them, and that through faith in what Christ accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, they can go from death to life spiritually. And in that transaction, that guarantees that they're going to be with God forever. So that's the real issue, Viola. And what I would suggest, we have some wonderful resources, a couple of booklets that we've put together, and a CD. And I would love to send those to you. And I think one of the best things that you can do is put a resource into somebody's hand and simply say, hey, this particular resource was very meaningful to me. It was the thing that helped me truly understand what the Bible was saying and what salvation it is and how much God loved me. And I would love for you to read it. And once you read it, tell me what you think. And that may start a conversation down a path that you've never been able to go down with them before.
Okay, thank you. I listen to you all every day. They're a blessing.
Well, thank you, Viola. We're certainly pleased that you are and glad that we can be a part of your life, and thank you for being a part of ours.
Thank you.
You hang on, Viola. We'll get some information to you, okay?
1-800-677-9377. Time remaining on the clock and open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, I hope Viola will call us back. I think I hit the wrong button. Instead of putting her on hold, I hit the off button. So I apologize to her. So, Viola, call us back so that we can get that information to you. Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk to Gillian. Hi, Gillian.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm well. I listen to you guys always when I get out of work. So I happened to put on the radio, and the gentleman that was calling prior was talking about tithing.
Yes.
And that, different pastors and preachers, they have their own perspective. Sometimes they kind of go really hard on that. And, money seems to be a sensitive topic for a lot of us because there's such a scarcity of it for some families. However, the tithing was done before the law. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. That wasn't something that was written. God didn't say you had to tithe. He did it before the law.
Well, it was a free will. It was a response that Abraham had to Melchizedek. And he was, God used that later on to make a statement to us that Abraham knew that Melchizedek was someone greater than he was. And so the lesser was blessing the greater in that exchange. So that's the story there. And what he gave Melchizedek were things that he had won through battle, that the spoils
definitely.
He won through battle. So it was a free will gesture on Abraham's part in response to that situation. And so what the writer of Hebrews does much later is to use that as an example that Melchizedek is greater than the Levites because the Levites came from Abraham. They were out of his bloodline. They were one of the 12 sons, or Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. And so the story, the point of it, is that Melchizedek was greater than Levi. And the point is that Jesus is our priest in the order of Melchizedek. So he has a greater place than the Levites did. And with Jesus, there has been a change in covenant. He fulfilled that old covenant, and that old covenant, it was what kind of laid out the principle of tithing for the people of Israel. It was more like a tax. They were obligated. It wasn't something that they could freely choose to do or not do, as Abraham was free to do. Melchizedek certainly didn't ask Abraham for a tithe. That was just a response. And so what the new covenant wants to do for us is to bring us back to that point where our giving is not an obligation, but is much like what Abraham did with Melchizedek. It was given as a result of God's great work in our lives. And that's what Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9.
May I say something?
Sure.
Yeah, may I say something? I agree with you totally. However, we are to tithe out of obedience. We are. Jesus came in fulfillment of
well. What if you don't,
prophecies.
Gillian? What if you? No, what
I know.
If
you don't, no. If you don't, then you don't. That's between. I believe that's the individual. That's between the person and God.
Well, so the people of
Israel. I don't think that a pastor.
That's what I want to say to you, Gillian, is that the people of Israel didn't have that choice. They were mandated by law to bring the grain and all of that into the storehouse for the purpose of religious life and for the support of the Levites. There was no, hey, maybe I'll do it this year or maybe I won't. They didn't have that. Under this new covenant, we have that freedom. And when we respond to the work of God's Spirit in our life, we don't have to worry. We're going to be givers. Why? Because the God who lives in us is a giver. He so loved us that he gave us of his only begotten Son. And as we keep in step with the Spirit, some would call that obedience, we're going to see ourselves giving of our resources as God moves in us. Well, Gillian, let me do this. We have a wonderful resource on that. I'd love to send it to you, and I certainly appreciate your question today. You hang on.
There are many resources available in our online store that you can find at store.basicgospel.net. We encourage you to go there and look around, and you'll find some very interesting things in there. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Queens and talk to Patrick, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Yes, my question is, can you address once save, always save? Some preach about once save, always save, and some say no. Can you shed some light on that for me, or if you have any literature?
Well, we do have some resources that we can send your way that I think will answer your question. But as far as eternal salvation and the phrase once saved, always saved, that's you're not going to find that in the Bible. All you're going to find is verses that assure us that when Christ saves you, it's forever. For example, in the book of Hebrews, the writer says that because Christ lives forever, he saves us completely. It's not a partial or temporary, it's a complete salvation, a complete rescue. And the reason it can be complete is because of his work on the cross. He took away the thing that killed us, sin, so that we could have eternal life. So when we're saved, we go from death to life, Patrick. That's what salvation is. It's not merely forgiveness of sins. It's not merely receiving a golden ticket that grants us entry into heaven when we die. We receive Jesus. We're born again. We're made alive with him. And when he gives us eternal life, it truly is eternal life. Well, Patrick, we're out of time on today's broadcast. Let me put you on hold. I do want to get some information to you. Once you listen to it and work through it, will you call us back?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick. You hang on.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, we're only 2 days away from our Bible conference, Stand 2014, featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher. There's still plenty of room for you. If you struggle, if you doubt, if you wonder if God really cares, feel like you're wandering day to day with no sure direction, you need to tap into that only sure compass for your life. You need to find solid footing for your journey through this broken world. That's what this Bible conference is about, Stand 2014. For information and registration, just visit the website, stand2014.com. Also, at-the-door registration is welcome, beginning at 6 p.m. this Thursday, just day after tomorrow. And again, you'll find all the information at stand2014.com, stand2014.com. Also this month, we've been featuring the issue of spiritual gifts, or focusing on it, I should say, and there's a lot of confusion about that since the day of Pentecost, but Bob Christopher has addressed that issue in this controversial topic in his CD called About Spiritual Gifts, and a copy is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy today, phone 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828, or you can go online to basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.